So we've been looking at who we are as a church and who we're called to be. And in order to do this, one of the things we've been doing is looking at the metaphors of the church, metaphors that the Bible uses to describe what the church is, what it should look like, what it should be. And 2 weeks ago, we looked at the church as a flock, like sheep. But one thing that we talked about is that doesn't mean that we're called to be brainless. Instead, we're called to be Bereans. And the Bereans were the church that was studying the scriptures, not just believing whatever Paul would say, but to look into the scriptures and see is what he's saying accurate. Is it true? We talked about how the Bible says we're supposed to love God with all our heart, soul, strength, and with our mind as well. So to be in a flock doesn't mean to be a brainless sheep, and we want to keep it in balance with the other metaphors of being a part of a body, of being a part of the family of God. But it does mean, it does mean that we're to stick together, to be together, and also to view God as our caretaker, as our shepherd. That was a cool analogy that you texted out and used this morning, Dee, about the father as well, who, you know, lovingly, you know, and is very capable to catch the child that is, you know, 15 feet up in the air, it looked like. I thought that was like, you know, straight out of like stock photo. That was pretty impressive. I can't believe that. You'll have to text it out to everyone else as well. But yeah, just a loving father we see about God, and also that loving and capable shepherd who cares for us. What we talked about last week is we gave this overview of a group that God calls out to be under shepherds within the church, a group that he trusts to help care for his flock by leading the local churches. And the main term that was used to describe these leaders, these under shepherds, is elders. And so elders were, in the New Testament, we looked through a lot of verses, were the leaders of the early churches. Each church had multiple elders. Well, this recap is in your notes as well, in your sermon notes, if you want to check that out. So each church had a multiple group of these elders, and a portion of those elders were those who preached and teach. We talked about how there were two terms that were used for this group. There was the term elder and there was the term overseer. We talked about how elder emphasized the qualifications of being a mature Christian, and we're going to talk about more of those later. And overseer, the term, emphasized the role. And we saw how the role is that of a shepherd. We looked at 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, which starts out, I exhort the elders, and then it goes on to say, shepherd the flock. That was their role. That was their job. That's what they were called to do. The elders were to shepherd God's flock, the church. And we saw how that term, even overseer, oversight, it can have the feeling of like, you know, boss or taskmaster or something like that. But it was really used in the context of being a shepherd, someone who lovingly cares for the sheep. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to go out into a series on the role of these elder shepherds and get more specific about what their role is, what they are called to be. And then we'll also look more at the qualifications. Now, you might be out there wondering, okay, does this apply to me then? And the answer is no, you can be dismissed. We'll see you in a couple of months. No, obviously I'm kidding. For two big reasons. One is that as a church, you should know what to expect of this group, of this role. But also one of the things we talked about is, and we're going to talk about, is elders, church leaders are to lead by example. And we talked about this idea of sort of, you know, capital L elders and that type of thing, but that also within the church, there's going to be people pastoring other people. We talked about this idea of the old training up the young within the church. And usually you're not the youngest person in the church. There's only one youngest person in the church. And so usually all of us have something that we can impart to someone younger. And this is not just about age, but in terms of experience, Christian maturity. And so we talked about this idea, all of us pretty much have a role of helping out those who are less mature. And I talk about this in general, this idea of the older and the younger. And I also stated that I saw myself as one of the older. And when I said that, I think I saw a couple of people that looked at me like, yeah, right, like you're one of the younger, you know. But I'll have you know that for most of this week, my arm has been incredibly sore. And so all of you know that I play baseball and I play softball. And so you probably guessed that my arm is incredibly sore because I shook a can of paint is how it ended up happening. Actually, I had to paint one of those Whirlybird things on my house. And so I had a can of spray paint, and it said on the back that you have to shake it vigorously for a minute after the little ball starts rattling. Once you hear that, then the timer starts. And that in and of itself, by the time you're shaking it and it starts to rattle, it takes at least 2 or 3 seconds for that to happen. And so now we're talking about over a minute. You're looking like that doesn't sound like a long time. But when you're shaking a can vigorously, by the time you get to 40 seconds, you're like, this is a lot of shaking. Yeah, a whole lot of shaking going on. Yeah, I still get the feeling that you don't feel like that's a lot. But what if I told you that a couple hours later there was a second coat? Exactly. Two coats. I gotta be honest with you, I didn't shake it the full minute the second coat. They got me the first time. I wasn't gonna do that again. And I switched to the left hand for some of it. I got through that experience thinking, you know what, I made it, I did it, I'm okay. And then the next morning I literally could not lift my arm. It's like, alright. So it is sad. It's sad. Thank you. I'm looking for pity at this point.
Are you okay now?
Yeah. Well, actually, it's still. If anyone knows how to. This is my point. I would not have felt this way when I was 25. So I want you to know that I am legitimately old. And see, being sore after you shake a paint can does not in and of itself make you qualified to be an elder. But it is helpful. It's one of the first steps. Anyway, Angela thought I was going to stop that 20 seconds ago at a bare minimum, but no, I take it to the end. Thank you, Angela. But the idea is we have the older training up the younger, and we have looked at an overview of the role of a shepherd, and one of the things we did to see that was Jesus as our chief shepherd and God as our shepherd. And we started out in Psalm 23, this beautiful psalm that talks about God as our shepherd. And then we looked at Ezekiel 34 just a little bit, that prophesied and showed that God himself would come and shepherd the people, that he would send the Messiah who would be God as well, who would come and shepherd the people personally. And we saw in John chapter 10 how Jesus shows himself to be that good shepherd. Well, Ezekiel 34, we only took a brief look at, and I want us to get more into it today. In this chapter, we see clearly what the role of a shepherd should be by what the leaders of Israel at the time, what the shepherds were not doing. And a few of the roles are going to be seen in this passage, but I think one will jump out as more prevalent than the rest in this section. And so it's that role that we're going to look at today. And so if you turn to Ezekiel chapter 34, it's on page 862 of the Bibles that are in front of you in the pew. So we're going to look at Ezekiel chapter 34, and we're going to read up through verse, from the first verse up through verse 13. And as we do, I want you to see some of the roles that it talks about for the shepherds. And again, this is describing what the shepherds or what the leaders, the elders of Israel at the time were not doing. And so God is going to chastise them in this. And he's also going to say, look, I'm going to need to come and fill this role myself because of what you're not doing. And we're going to see in this passage what the role should be. We're going to see several roles. Again, we're going to focus on one. So Ezekiel chapter 34, starting in the first verse. So then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, thus says the Lord God, woe, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourselves with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. Those who are sickly you have not strengthened, the diseased you have not healed, the broken you have not bound up, the scattered you have not brought back, nor have you sought for the lost. But with force and severity you have dominated them. They were scattered for lack of a shepherd, and they became food for every beast of the field and were scattered. My flock wandered through all the mountains and every high hill. My flock were scattered over all the face of the earth, and there was no one to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my flock has become a prey, my flock has even become food for all the beasts of the field for lack of a shepherd, and my shepherds did not search for my flock, but rather the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will demand my sheep from them and make them cease from feeding sheep. So the shepherds will not feed themselves anymore. But I will deliver my flock from their mouth, so that they will not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep, and I will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land. All right, did you get which role that we're thinking of here? Try to emphasize those words a little bit more. They seemed like there were two big themes in this portion. There was the feeding of the flock, and there was the searching for the flock that was scattered. And today we're going to talk about that second one first, of searching for the scattered flock. Have you ever been lost? We take a trip to Ghana, West Africa every year. We were lost in Ghana one time. Well, actually, we were in a van, and there was a bunch of us in the van, and Brother John, who is from Ghana, he's our main contact there. And we were going to a particular church we hadn't been to before. He hadn't really been to before, I don't think. And we were kind of, you know, he could tell he was talking to the driver. They were talking back and forth. We would stop every once in a while, pull off the side of the road. He'd call someone over from the roadside. What is awesome there is everyone will help you there when you're over there. And one of them even like ended up getting into the van with us. You can't do this in America. I don't suggest doing it in America, but over there they'll just jump in, they'll ride with you, they'll show you the way. It's incredible how friendly and hospitable they are. But in this particular case, after, I don't know, 10 minutes of doing this, stopping, asking directions, this type of thing, I think I finally said, are we lost? And Brother John said, no, we're not lost. We just don't know where we are. And it's one of those things that sounds profound when you say it, but then when you're like, no, that doesn't make any sense. I'm still trying to figure out what he meant. But I think what he meant is, don't be worried, like, I've got it covered. Everything's okay. But when you are, like, actually lost. There was another time when Ebenezer and I were in Ghana and we were in the rainforest and we got lost there. And that was a little bit more scary. But when you are lost, when you are out on your own, especially a place you don't know, there can be genuine and real fear in that. And there can be real danger. And this metaphor of, you know, the shepherd and the sheep and the flock, it's extraordinarily dangerous for the sheep to be out there on their own, alone. You know, I've mentioned this before, but watching a lot of nature shows, and you just see when that animal gets separated, how in danger it is when it's alone. Saw another one last night where the birds, they had to make it from the cliff to the water, and then some of the birds, they didn't make it to the water, and it's really sad, by the way. It's also slightly funny because when they hit the land, they like crash and do like tumble over, which is, you know, you're like, ah, it's funny because they get back up and everything, but then the fox comes and gets them. Then you feel happy for the fox a little bit. I don't know. Anyway, the bottom line is that when you're lost, when you're on your own, there's fear, there is danger. And when God looked at, in the Old Testament here, he looked at his leaders not leading the people spiritually, not making, having them follow after God, and they got scattered, they got lost, and God found this completely unacceptable. In Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 13, this is just an amazing and cool prophecy of God. And when he says, I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own lands. This is just an incredible prophecy that we actually see coming true today. God had promised Abraham way back, you know, long, long time ago, that he would give Abraham descendants. This is when Abraham was past the, he and his wife were past the age of being able to, it would seem, bear children. He promised him a nation of descendants. He promised him lands, and he promised him that the whole world would be blessed through him, that all the nations would be blessed through his seed. And we just get to see the fulfillment of all of these prophecies. We saw, of course, that Abraham did become a nation, the people Israel, the Hebrews. We see that all of the nations were blessed through his seed, Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah. And we also see what it's talking about here, this prophecy of God gathering from all the countries and bringing them back to that land that he promised them in Israel. We see even to this very day, I mean, certainly in the last 50, 60 years, but now it's even accelerating how we see Jewish people from all over the world gathering to the place that God had set apart for them. Yet to fully happen, and it's happening some where some of these Jewish people are coming to know Jesus as the Messiah, but the time is going to be future when the nation as a whole will accept Jesus as the Messiah. But until that happens, and until that happened, when, even though God made these promises to Abraham, God also told them that if his descendants do not follow after God, but instead go after other gods, and they don't follow the covenant, that they will be removed from the land, they will be judged for the time, they will be scattered. And that's exactly what happened. The people didn't follow after, and they were judged for a time, and they were scattered. And one thing that you'll see when you read the Old Testament, when it talks about the kings, is that very often it was those leaders who would either help the people follow after God or would fail, and they would go after gods. They would set up, you know, idols to other gods, and the whole nation would go after them. And you just see in that the importance of having good leaders, of having good shepherds, And this is why this idea and this topic is so important, of just making sure that we're constantly looking at that and growing in this area, making sure that we're all the leaders that God is calling us to be. And we see in this prophecy and in its fulfillment, and as we can look at Israel today and see God regathering and this amazing prophecy coming true, it shows not only that God is capable, that He can make this amazing prophecy and have it come true even thousands of years later, but also it shows the heart of God, that He's a good shepherd who calls out this people and then cares for them and does not forget them and brings them back to this place. He is the God who finds the lost, who doesn't forget about them, who brings them back, who doesn't let go or forget about His promises. Again, in Ezekiel 34 and verses 11 through 13 that we read, and then also verses 23 and 24, it talks about how God Himself will gather the people and how the Messiah will come and be the shepherd. And this is Jesus Himself. And we saw this in John chapter 10. In John 10, 16, it says, "I have other sheep who are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd." And so we see how Jesus came to live and to die for all of us, for Jews and for Gentiles alike, that yes, He's bringing the Jewish people back together. He didn't forget about them. He made those promises to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but He also came to die for the Gentiles as well, to bring them into His fold. God wants every single person. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There is no one who falls through the cracks in God's mind, in God's eyes. There's sometimes we hear things or objections to Christianity or the gospel, like, what about those who haven't heard? What about this? What about that? And in our mind, there's these people that just God was over making coffee or something, and they forgot about, they didn't have a chance to hear or something like that. It's just not the case. God loves and cares for every single person who's ever been born more than I love and care for any single person. Like, God knows the hair on the head of everyone. Like, God absolutely loves and cares for everyone and wants every single person to come into His fold, to come in and be a part of His flock. And this is the heart, even though we're never going to be able to fully get there, this is the heart that God calls us to have, and especially is what He calls for the leaders to have. I want you to turn to one more passage, Luke chapter 15. This is on page 1042, Luke 15, starting at verse 1. It says, "Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near Him to listen to Him. Both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.' So He told them this parable, saying, 'What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." I tell you, in the same way, there will be joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." This is in a chapter in Luke where he talks about this lost sheep and the lost coin and then the prodigal son as well. And he's telling these parables because of the Pharisees and the scribes. These are the people that were supposed to be the religious leaders of the time. They were supposed to be the shepherds, like those elders. And they, instead of like seeing the lost people and saying like, yes, we need to save those people, I'm so glad Jesus is talking to them, their response was, this man receives sinners and eats with them. They were focused on their own purity and their own minds. And they did not have the heart for the lost. And so Jesus tells parable after parable, and he tries to get them to see, this is that heart, this is the attitude that you should have. If you have 99 sheep that are there with you, but one is lost, your heart should be to go out and to find that one that is lost. And not only that, if you are able to find it, to put it on your shoulders, to bring it in, be like, everyone rejoice with me. I have no idea how accurate this is. I've never like found a sheep, and is that what a shepherd would do? And I think maybe he's using hyperbole a little bit. I don't know if shepherds would do this or not, but he's saying, this is the shepherds that I am looking for, the ones who would go out and do everything they can to find that one sheep that is lost and bring it back on our shoulders and rejoice in it. And he says, in heaven, this is the mindset we're supposed to have, is the mindset that they have in heaven, is that over one sinner that repents, there is rejoicing in heaven. As far as I can tell in my readings of heaven, there's not a whole lot that's written about it. Sometimes we see pictures of God in heaven in His absolute glory. The only other thing besides glorifying God that I'm familiar with happening in heaven in terms of rejoicing is rejoicing over a sinner coming to repentance. This is what should bring us joy more than pretty much anything else in this world, is seeking out that one who is lost, rejoicing at the one who is lost. Tell one more story of from Ghana, where we put on a pastor's conference there over the last few years, and in order to do that, it costs money in terms of, you know, housing people from out of town and getting them there, and, you know, there's a lot of different costs related to food, and when you had our crusade, setting up the sound system and that type of thing. And so I brought a couple of $1,000 in order to give to the leaders to be able to do that. And I gave it to one of them, who was to give it to the others to meet all of those, you know, payments. And we came to the Crusades one of the nights, and he was looking for the money and thought he had lost it. And $2,000 is a lot of money here. I know that a lot of people here and others around here donated in order to pay for that conference. And some, you know, for us, it's a lot of money. For them, that can be like a person's yearly salary. And if you imagine that person thinking that they had lost that money. And so he immediately, you know, left the crusade. He wasn't needed at that moment. And you could just sense, you could see like kind of that sense of fear. You know, I had that pit in my stomach a bit. You can all imagine what that feeling would be. Like, I just lost a year's salary, perhaps. And just that sense of like, I need to go find this. Like, that's going to be what's on my mind until I find it. He got home and realized that he had changed his pants before the crusade. So thankfully he did find it. And there was rejoicing when he found it. Like, we danced at the crusades, you know, there's a little bit more of a kick in his step, right? Like, there's rejoicing in that. This is nothing. $2,000 is nothing in terms of eternity. It's nothing. What God is saying is that sense of, oh my gosh, where did that go? I need to find that. That's what attitude He wants us to have when we think about the lost souls in our midst, in our lives. This is what He is asking of all of us, and most especially of our leaders. There are those that, and sometimes it's hard for us to know because who we should go for. Like if you lose $2,000, you know, okay, I know the $2,000 I'm looking for. Sometimes I think it can be hard in our lives because there's like sheep all over the place and we think, well, who am I supposed to look out for? Well, that's something that we can be praying to God for. But, you know, try to look for everyone. You know, if you tap on a sheep's shoulder and like, hey, I'm trying to find you. And they're like, no, I'm in a different flock. You'd be like, okay, God bless. Or forget you, I don't want to be in your flock. Like, fine. Like, that's going to happen. But you're going to find some that really need to be found and are waiting for it. You know, there are those who have never been found. There are those who have never heard the gospel. There are those who have never stepped in a church that maybe you can be the first one to help them and bring them in. There may be those who were in the fold at one point but got lost. And this is more that we generally think of as the prodigals. Maybe they left because they were looking for better things in the world. And they were wandering and there was something shiny over there. And they're like, that looks good. Let me go check that out. And they turned around and the flock was over there. And they said, let me just kind of stick here in the world. You know, maybe they just kind of wandered away for no real reason, but they've had trouble getting back in. Maybe they left because they were in a flock that was a bad flock with bad shepherds. You know, you're going to meet a lot of people who grew up, maybe had experience with a church that wasn't doing it the way that God said it should be done and wasn't treating its people the way that they should have been treated. And so they think that's what it means to be in a flock. And we need to show them that maybe, no, that's not the case. You can come in and see what it's like to be in a flock that really loves each other and cares about each other and serves God. And it's this amazing, beautiful place. We can show you a better way. The great joy of the great shepherd is to have those sheep come home. Again, all of us are to have that heart. We've been talking about elders. We've been talking about the capital S shepherds and capital E elders of the church. All of us are to have that heart, but the leaders are to lead the way in this. That role of an elder would be to lead the way in evangelism. To do it ourselves as leaders, but also to train others, to train the younger how to do it, and to take them out and to do it. But also to watch over those who are in the flock but then wander away, that miss a few Sundays, you know, and are at home or are sick or something like that. If we're only, sometimes there's like so much just in front of you that it's hard to see what's not there. And it's really important that you have a group like this that is watching out for the people who have been there, but then are not here for a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, something like that. You need a group that is going to be able to say, hey, you know, give them a call, go to their house. You know, we have a visitation group that helps with a lot of these things, but really it's most helpful to have, again, this role of the elder shepherd to be able to watch out for everyone's here, but everyone who's been apart at some point and then wanders away, to be able to say that we're caring for those people that are here, but those that are not here as well. Again, this is a part of my job, But as we talked about before, this is a role that the Bible says there are multiple people who should be filling that role. Let's pray together. Dear God, I just thank you so much for your great love and care for us. That you are this amazing shepherd who remembers every one of your amazing promises to us. God, I pray that it would build our faith to see that every prophecy and promise that you made in Ezekiel 34, as well as everywhere else, we've seen come true. We saw how you promised you would regather your people, Israel, and how you are doing that right before our eyes after thousands of years. But God, more than just the power to be able to do that, I pray that we would think about the heart that you have to do that, to care for those who are lost all over the world. That your absolute heart's desire is to bring each person into your fold, into your flock, that you can care for them. God, I pray that you would give each one of us the same heart to find those that are lost, to have that just on our mind all the time until we find that lost sheep. God, I pray that we would get on our knees before you and that you would open up our eyes to see people that you've placed in our life that need to be brought back home into your fold, into a better fold perhaps than they've known before, into a place that cares for them, that will help shepherd them, that will help love them. God, give us the eyes to see that. Give us the desire to do that. And God, give us wisdom. God, I thank you so much for this church, this place where you can walk in this place and just feel and know the love of God. And I pray that you would make this more and more a sheepfold that is a place where when someone walks in, they just know and experience your love so clearly. They know that they're cared for. And God, I pray that you would help me do a better job of seeing those who have wandered away and would do a better job of making sure that everyone's cared for. And God, I pray that you would continue to give us all the wisdom and the help to be able to do a better and better job at what you're calling us to do. God, if there's anyone here who's feeling alone or feeling lost, even though they're in their room, God, I pray that they would just be able to know you more, or maybe for the first time as their shepherd. God, that they would just turn to you and say, God, I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I want you to be my God, my Father, my shepherd, my King. And God, if there's someone in here who just needs more care and better care, I pray that you would help them be able to speak up about that, or us to be able to see it and be able to care for them better. God, if there are people who have been wandering away and gone from this place, God, help us to remember and who all those people are and be able to reach out to them and let them know that they're cared for. God, we don't want to see scattered sheep, but we want to see people come into your fold. Help us to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's pray.